Welcome everyone to Arts About, a show about art that's a work of art in itself, and I'm saying all of that. Normally Sally would say some of it. I'm saying all of it because Sally's not here. Sally's abandoned me, as Swanee did some time ago, actually, and happily I have Mark Stewart with me, and Bridgie Thomas is in the room as well. Brody's behind the desk there, so hopefully everything will go smoothly. We're in the Bendigo Bank studio and looking forward to spending the next hour or so with you. I have absolutely no idea what's going on the running sheet and I don't care about it. So I'm watching what Brody's up to and he's pointing at various things and letting me know what might or might not be going on. And I gather we're about to play a song, are we, while we get Sally on the phone, who in fact has just come back from... is about to come back from... Tasmania. She went down there to watch Dark Mofo. Now, let me see if I can figure this out properly. And I'm going to play some Jerry Lee Lewis just because I really like this particular thing. This is Jerry Lee Lewis and Keith Richards. Hello, Sally.
Hello, John.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, sounds like you've gone a little country on me.
No, Jerry Lee Lewis and Keith Richards.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, they're a couple of naughty old men.
They sure are. Well, it's a little bit more urban gothic down here.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And yeah. I've been curious to know, actually, but what sort of arrangements the radio station have made for you down there. They've got a car driving you around? Or?
No, sadly. They haven't got a car driving me around, but they have put me up in the sort of palatial RPP residence, which is at the top of one of the silos in...
Really?
Yeah, it's rather spectacular.
I haven't been down there to visit that one. I must make sure I do.
In fact, you know what you can see from up here?
No.
You can see your brother's house, which is just on the hill there at Sandy Bay.
I think I gather Hobart's like that. You can pretty well see everything from everywhere.
You can if you're up on a hill, but down here in the dark of Dark Mofo, there's not much to see except a lot of red light and bright lights and some very, very happy punters.
Mm. And what have you been looking at?
Been seeing, we went and had a look at a production called The Back Eye, which is actually a co-production with St. Martin's Theatre. That was in the black box down there at Macquarie Wharf. Incredible! It was like, Will and I both went and saw it, and honestly, it was like having experienced a nightmare with 200 other people. It was the most visually extraordinary piece of theatre I've seen for a long time, and it was a whole lot of maybe 30, 35, 16 to 17-year-old girls from St. Martin's Theatre.
Well...
I just can't even get
my head around what that might have been like.
It was turning the Bacchanalian ideal on its head, and turning the protagonists into young girls. It was wild, really terrific,
and a highlight, obviously. And there's other stuff going on down there, and I know that I've just noticed over the last couple of months. I mean, you get terribly excited about this.
I do.
And it's fulfilled your expectations?
Yes, it does. It's bigger this year. I think they've definitely had more funding, but it's there are more people down here. It's becoming a little bit more... people are becoming much more aware of it, I think, down here at Dartmouth. So you better get down, John, before it turns into an absolute circus.
Mm. Yeah, well, perhaps next year.
Yesterday we saw Lubomir Melnik, who is a Ukrainian... pianist. He's the fastest pianist in the world.
Apparently,
and he creates these soundscapes with the most extraordinary dexterity you could imagine.
Right.
And he was on at the Federation Concert Hall.
So, if you play the piano fast, very fast, does it necessarily sound like honky tonk?
No, it doesn't. What it becomes is a sort of a wall of sound.
Right.
So the notes become indecipherable. It becomes it's almost like it turns it into another instrument. The harmonics of it are so kind of blended. It's just all encompassing. You just close your eyes and you're in this soundscape. It's just remarkable.
Sally, we've got Mark here with us, of course.
Hi, Sally. Whose music? Very well, thank you. Whose music was he playing?
His own composition.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yep. So, and the last piece, which is his greatest piece, he says, and encompasses absolutely all of his talents, is called Windmills. And it's.
And did you see the Mike Parr show in the?
Yes, I did. We went out. Didn't see Mike Parr. Mike Parr was there for the first weekend. We were there for the second weekend. So we saw the installation, the exhibition, which is in three different buildings.
And right.
That was sort of extraordinary and horrifying, and the building itself, just walking around in an asylum is staggering enough. But in certain places, there were installations that he'd created, videos that he'd created that were so shocking.
Mm. And apparently he was drawing continuously for 72 hours.
Yes, he was, apparently. Mm. And, in fact, John's brother went and saw him twice that weekend. And he was drawing these magnificent pieces, apparently, that by the very end of it, he completely blacked out. He just painted them black.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will's just telling me. Yes, and there were mirrors everywhere. It was entry by mirror into the asylum. And so all the punters had brought along mirrors of different sizes and shapes and just hung them throughout. It was very, very powerful.
So mirrors being a bit of a theme down there, there was also a house of mirrors, wasn't there?
There was. Christian Wagstaff and Keith Courtney's House of Mirrors, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, was absolutely incredible. I think it took them by surprise. I don't think they realised, the dark mofo folk realised how incredibly popular that was going to be. And it was almost impossible to see. I tried a couple of times to get in there, and the queues were so long that I put it off. And in fact, we only ended up going the last night, and we got there as soon as the gates opened, and we raced in there. And
you're sure it was a very long queue, Sally, and not just a whole lot of reflections?
No, it wasn't. But I tell you, once you got in there, it was unbelievable. It was really powerful, and it was fantastic. It was far better than you could have even imagined. And and actually incredibly spacious in there as well. It really was a tour de force. I think that their dreams, perhaps, of touring around the world are definitely going to come true. It was a really spectacular piece of both engineering and design. And
I seem to remember him saying that it was very tall, at 8 metres or something, which is a two-storey building.
Yes, each mirror was about 8 metres tall, and there was close to 100 of them in there. And you walked in, and you honestly could not tell what was in front of you. The only way that you could prevent yourself from bumping into mirrors and so on was to get an eye, to remember to be looking for yourself, but to hold your hands in front of your face. You had no idea. It was just like walking into an infinitesimal space. It was brilliant. We were nodding furiously. It was much better than I imagined.
Any Dunkley voters down there, Sally?
Yes, there were a few Dunkley voters down here. And in fact, I ended up at an arts party debate with several of the local politicians just last night for Edge Radio. So we've had a little bit of arts party info down here. And of course, there are so many art lovers down here that I did feel that I was at one with everybody.
Of course. And the mix between being a hopeful in the House of Reps and being a nude swimmer in Tasmania in the middle of winter is a rare one, I think.
Yes, it is, and I hope we get to see some photos of that.
So do I.
And what's on the program today? Have you got a big program?
We've got Bridgie Thomas with us, and she's going to talk about having been in Greece at the printmaking...
Skopelos Works on Paper?
Yes, see, you know about it.
Yes, yeah. I do. I've been looking at it.
Well, everyone else is going to learn about
it. Husband did post it.
Yeah. And Mark and I are going to chat about Lord Knows What.
Degas.
I'm sure you'll have a great time.
A bit of Degas, perhaps, because Mark and I, we're off to see Degas at the NGV.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, I'll look forward to hearing the program, perhaps, at a later date. I'll listen to the podcast.
Okay. Nice to talk to you, Sally.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Sally.
And see you back in the real world next week.
Okay.
Have a good trip. Bye.
Now, Mark.
Yes, John.
We're, of course, not in Tasmania.
could be. We're looking outside.
And we're here instead. And what, as you've just pointed out, we're going to have a bit of a chat about Degas. And I'm not sure what Brody's got in mind there. Are we going to go to a track, or are we going to just, we're going to carry on a little bit? And I see now he's pointing, and it's kind of hilarious, I'm sure, for anyone who's listening to this, but I'm going by Brody's cues, and he's doing it all without talking. But we're going to talk to Bidgie at the moment, and she's sitting right here, ready to go. And back from Greece.
How are you?
Very, very good. Yeah. You've been over in Greece at the printmaking. Skopelos is the island.
Skopelos is the island, and yeah. Steph Bolt runs a Works on Paper program every year. She has a different tutor that teaches exploring sort of the different mediums of paper. And this year she had an amazing teacher from Canberra called Diane Fogwell, who's probably very well renowned in printmaking. She's just been accepted for some Works on Paper at the Mornington Works on Paper show. So okay. She's got a couple of big linos in there. She showed us the proofs, which was
That's a great show. Do you enter that?
I do enter it, and I wasn't selected this year.
Right.
So a bit disappointed.
Well, it's a tough one because it's probably the biggest Works on Paper prize in Australia.
Yeah.
The most notorious one.
Quite often not a Works on Paper. It's usually, it should be more correctly titled Works with Paper, I think.
Right.
I think one year a deck chair won it.
Yeah, I've seen books win it too as well. Robert Jack's a set of books that he decorated. Mm. Now, the Greek islands, of course, that would seem to me to suit your practice, which is often about marine life and boats and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Greek boats are a little different, of course.
Very different, the little fishing boats.
Do you get out on the boats much?
Oh, we went out on a boat one day. It wasn't a little Greek fishing boat. It was quite a large yacht. We went for a sail up to to Olonosos and had a nice lunch in the little tavern there, and it was ideal. Yeah, beautiful beaches and,
It's not what I had in mind when I was thinking of you in the Greek islands doing a printmaking journey, standing on a large yacht having lunch and no doubt a cold drink in your hand. It's not work.
No, it's not work, is it? That's what it's all about. Yeah, no, Greece is a very laid-back sort of lifestyle. And
do you get imagery out of that sort of event?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the islands are very different. Very mountainous and coves and rocky and beautiful. The sea is what amazes me, that blue Mediterranean sea it's nothing like it.
Somebody to do with limestone, I'm told.
Yeah, well, the white limestone sort of reflects that blue, the depth knowing that there's nothing there to come and munch you up. You can just swim for miles.
Right.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, I have swum around the Greek islands and it is a remarkable swim. And Mark, of course, was telling me recently that that kind of limestone coastal stuff is what gets under pressure, rots away under the sea and then gets pushed up in volcanic action and you get black marble coming out.
White marble.
Right. Oh, from limestone, of course. Yeah. But then the black marble, when that comes out from the compost that's put under pressure, apparently you can smell it when you cut it and carve it.
Wow.
It smells composty.
Sulfur.
Yeah. Hmm.
But, Bridget, what did you make in Greece?
It was Works on Paper, so we did a lot of printmaking. And Diane had us all making different sort of books. So everyone had, out of the six participants in the group, and they were all from Australia, it was sort of a Steph organises, she gets her customers, I guess we are. So we all went along and everyone had different ideas and everyone produced different work. So everyone had a different book to sort of show.
Yes, I've seen some of your works, a lot of fish and boats. And so did you continue in that vein?
Yes, I did. I didn't really have any idea what to do. Mm. Had nothing in mind. I went with an open mind and just created a lot of fish woodcuts and on paper, on perspex and lino, and just produced a book called A Dragon... dragon leaf. So it was just layers of different lengths of paper, starting from quite a heavy paper right up to quite light rice papers, and just printed on those. So it was sort of a coloured thing. And when I looked at it, it wasn't anything I have done before, but when I looked at it, it was sort of like the colour of the the sand and the beach and the water's edge.
Okay. So, and can we see that somewhere? Or?
Yes, I can send a photo into you. Yeah.
All right.
Not much to look at from the top because it's quite fine and faint, but okay. I can turn the pages and you can, yeah.
We'll send something over. We'll get Sally to put it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Actually, if you actually look at Steph's www.worksonpaper, Scopolos Works on
okay.
Paper,
right.
there's 7 days worth of, well, not 7 days, there's 14 days worth of images. As,
okay.
as everyone's working through different stages and stuff, and that's quite a comprehensive guide.
Excellent. You're a ceramicist as well. Did you touch on any of that, William?
No, the I Greeks didn't touch on any, but I was completely inspired by the Archaeological Museum in Athens, and anywhere you go, of course, there's yeah. broken urns and everyone's garden and, you know, just amphoras and ceramics everywhere, yeah. So right. I'll come back and put my head down and do some more of that.
Images of slaughter or sodomy the Greeks were into, weren't they?
yeah.
Don't think they called it sodomy. They didn't actually have homosexuality in Greece. They just called it sexuality. Yeah. There's no difference.
Well, you know, the old line, don't you, about the Greeks invented sex and then the Italians discovered women.
yes, all right. No comment. I've met some lovely Greek women.
Yes, indeed. Now, the trip over there is not only printmaking and looking at ceramics and all that sort of stuff, it's also about being in Greece, you know, and journeying around. Was it a nice little boat ride over to the island? Did you fly over to the island
well,
or did you go over in a...
We got a ferry from Volos, which is maybe 3 hours by bus from Athens, north of Athens, and we were recommended to go there because Volos has probably the best Tipperow and Mez places in Greece, which is where you sit down, have a little bottle of Tipperow, which is like an ouzo,
right.
and with every bottle of this Tipperow, you would have a different platter of food. So you might have three people sitting at the table. You have three Tipperow, and you'll have, you know, a plate of sardines and a plate of anchovies and maybe an eggplant dish or something. So every time you order another round of drinks, you get another three platters or whatever amount of bottles you'll have.
Right, and with a view and a great big slab of sunlight.
Yeah, and you never, apparently you're never supposed to get the same meal repeated.
Right.
So that sort of set the standard for the rest of the weeks. John was doing that quite a lot.
Right.
Yeah, but it was good. And
did
then,
you
yeah,
do any flying?
We did fly.
In small planes?
Not in tiny planes, no. There was the nearby island Skiathos has an airport. Which
right.
creates quite a lot of tourists, as you can imagine. And from there you get a ferry to Skopelos. So Skopelos is not very touristy.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes. I had a flight in a small plane around the Greek islands or from one island to another, essentially, and I couldn't help wondering what the 3,000-year-ago Greeks would have thought of being that high up in the air looking at the Greek islands, because it's really quite beautiful.
Indeed, yeah.
Have to ask Icarus, wouldn't you?
Yeah, indeed. Yes. Well, he came to grief, of course, as I did and I usually do. Thanks for that, Brody. Brody's making more signs over there. Just settle down a little, mate. You know, we don't need to jump all over the place. All right, so you're going back?
I'd love to, yeah. Steph has a, like I say, a different tutor every year, so I'm not sure who she's going to have next year. But,
right.
Yeah, it's definitely worth going. And another lady who had been three times, Steph was calling her a serial offender. So
right.
She'd been
a recidivist.
So yeah. I can see, and I can understand why. So yeah, I'll definitely go back.
So is there a connection being made between what happens over there on the island and how people can look at what's being done over there back here, other than on the internet? Is there a little room around where people are going to put objects on the wall? Or I mean, obviously, we'll be able to see what you've been up to.
I don't know. I think it's just maybe a personal thing, apart from the website that she has and encourages people to look at.
Will you stay in touch with the woman from Canberra?
I will, yes. Yeah, very much.
Right.
Yeah. She was an amazing tutor. She had so much knowledge to offer, and her work was stunning. So, yeah, definitely keep in touch with her. She was very approachable, and, yeah, she was great.
Well, thanks for all of that, Bridgie, and welcome back.
Reluctantly back home.
Yeah, and I'm glad that all went very well, and it sounds really, really interesting. Actually, I wouldn't mind nicking over to the Greek islands.
An excuse.
And now it's time for John of.
Thank you, Swanee, for that thank you, Swanee, for that sting, which we're all familiar with. Mark?
Yes, John.
This is my opportunity to carry on a bit about things that have happened to me, extraordinary and otherwise. And I thought this week I might talk about something that in fact involves you. It also involves the French police, both the police in Brittany and the police in Paris. And I'm just checking that you don't mind me talking about this.
Not at all.
You may remember driving down through Brittany, and we were heading for an island where we were going to stay for the night. And we were late because this island was... It was necessary to get onto the island over a causeway, and we had to get across the causeway before the high tide because it went underwater, essentially, at high tide. We were running a little late. And there was a policeman standing in the middle of the road with his hands in the air, and you very politely stopped. I was surprised that you stopped, but you did.
And it wasn't a policeman.
Oh, was it?
It was a commissioner for the race.
Okay, right. So an official of some sort. Yeah. And the race being, what he pointed out, was that there was a handicap race coming up the road and that we couldn't possibly go down that road. Was closed for the afternoon. And you pointed out to him that if we didn't take that road, we would in fact miss the tide and therefore miss our opportunity to stay where we were going to stay that evening. And an argument of some sorts ensued. And it was all about the tide in the end. We had a poet with us who was walking around the car with his arms in the air yelling out, the moon, the tide!
Vivian Hopkirk,
and a French official who was trembling and threatening to blow his whistle, a threat that didn't seem to have any effect on you. And we jumped in the car in the end and just took off down towards the causeway.
Well, we did have to push him out of the way.
We did have to push him out.
With the car, very lightly, but he did get out of the way, fortunately.
He got out of the way, yeah.
But he took the number plates and then called the police. And
well, the spectacular part of all of that is that I remember it was that it was the people on crutches having to leap out of the way of your car.
Well, you do exaggerate a little bit, John. It was
wheelchairs falling into ditches.
No, there were about two or three people who weren't even on the road. They were on the side of the road, and we... Mm. Very gracefully and slowly went past them,
right.
Waving, and they waved back. They didn't seem to think there was anything special going on.
Right.
And we finally got to the causeway, and the water was coming in, but still we managed to get through.
There was a couple of inches of water on the causeway, as I remember, and we made a big splash and got onto the island. And the accommodation that you'd arranged for me that evening on the island, which was very charming, was, however, without hot water, I seem to remember. And
well, it was there was no electricity. It was kerosene lamps and fireplaces and
I know what I'm about to remind you. You will remember fondly, but you and the poet went for a swim in the Atlantic, as sculptors and poets are prone to do. And it was very cold. But we all needed a wash, and off you went for a swim in the Atlantic, and I thought, I'm not doing that, it's too cold, so I heated some water from the tap in the little house we were staying in on the gas stove and put it in the bath until I had enough hot water in there to add some cold water and get in and have a hot bath, which I thought was more suitable. Unfortunately, Brody, and you'll enjoy this, the cistern that I'd drawn the water from had about 2 foot of dead rats on top of it, and the bath was kind of a little greasy and rather smelly, which
should've
Mark and Vivian thought was hilarious. It didn't improve me at all. But that was a great trip.
Was.
Yeah, and I remember the F1, and of course they're in France, so the Mirages that flew overhead, and I'm not sure what they were up to, but they came out of the, what is the ocean there? What's the sea?
It's the Channel.
Oh, the English Channel. They came across the Channel. Maybe they were coming from bombing England.
Doubtful. I don't think they're allowed over there, but they're very present in the French sky. Yeah. Mirages, they're all over the place.
And they came across the island very, very, very low and very sort of loud some minutes after they'd passed. That sort of
Sonic Boom. Yeah.
Sonic Boom, you know, it's one of the few times that I've seen aeroplanes very close to the ground flying.
So fast.
So fast, yeah. It was really quite remarkable. I think it blew my hat off from memory. The boom, not the aeroplane. And many other things happened on that particular journey, and some of which I've talked about, you know, like nearly burning down 14th century forts. And
and the absinthe. Did you talk about the absinthe?
Oh, look, I haven't let that go on the world. But I can assure you, Brody, it's possible to get real absinthe still in France. You know, the real stuff. It's made by guys in farmhouses with jars full of frogs in the back room. Hello, Cliff. Cliff's just walked in, excuse me, but that's that sound of the door opening. And it's pointless sort of asking him to greet me because he doesn't have a microphone in front of him at the moment. Now, Brody, let me know whether or not I'm going to go to a track off my... I am. Okay, so I'm just about to do that. And I'm sure you'll all forgive me while I search for this. And here we go. This is one of my favourites from Lucinda Williams. Lucinda Williams.
Is she Australian?
No, she's very much Southern, you know.
American.
So, yes. No, from the South.
Yeah, not
in other words. Very interesting, though. You know, very bitter and twisted, I think, about a lot of things. But the music's fantastic.
Yeah, the music's good. I like the words.
Yeah. Now, we have with us Cliff. Should I rattle through the entire list of your qualifications to be here? Or
no, happy just call me an 80-year-old pensioner.
Right.
On the full pension.
Right.
Good morning, John, and good morning,
Mark.
Mark.
Yeah.
Good morning. Where's Sally?
Sally's in Tasmania.
Oh, that's no good. I wanted to ask her why she's standing for the seat in Frankston.
Oh, well, you know, you can ask her next week. It's a long election.
Yeah, I know, but she can't win, so I sort of wonder what the motivation is.
Well, I'm not sure you can say she can't win. She can, in fact, win. But the point being that if anyone's running for the House of Representatives, it gives them an opportunity to get on a platform and talk about what it is that's most important to them. And that's essentially what Sally is doing.
But she can't get elected.
Why is that?
Well, that's what you say.
Well, it's either Labor or Liberal in Frankston. Probably Liberal, I would think, by a smallish margin, that's all. I was just wondering.
No. Who is she?
She's standing for the Arts Party in the House of Representatives. And as Cliff points out, it's not only is that a minor party, she's the only person in Victoria standing for the Arts Party for the House of Representatives. There are some Senate seats that are being sought by that party, but I think good on her.
All right, yeah.
And okay. I wouldn't say she can't be elected. I would never say
Can we vote for her? Or?
No, not unless you're in Dunkley.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Where are you from,
I'm in Toorong.
Where's that?
Toorong.
Is that on the Mornington Peninsula?
Yes. Apparently, yes. Yeah, there's nothing there.
You vote for Greg Hunt?
Apparently, yes.
Ah, well, he's a good man.
He's a good man? Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, he's right. Looking after things in Queensland for
us. He is, the Great Barrier Reef, is it?
Yes. Now, the Queen's birthday honours, really.
Miss out again, Cliff?
I don't see why people that give a lot of money to charities should get big awards. What's that got to do with the price of fish? It gets me, you know. And also, these awards are sort of decided by a mysterious group similar to the Helpman Awards in Sydney, of which I had a look through, and sure enough, the vast majority of recipients were from Sydney or New South Wales, you know.
Yeah. Yes, but this also happens, Cliff, in art prizes we find. You know, the Archibald is a Sydney-based prize and it's a lot of Sydney artists win it. Because they're the most visible.
Do you know who's on the panel that chooses it?
Well, I'd rather not know because that's part of the problem as well. It's all it's the vested interests who it's almost normal that it's like this in a way. It's very difficult for people to be completely open in their choices. We're all very biased in our ways.
Yeah, it runs right through the arts. It annoys me.
Mm.
By the way, last week you commented that I was in my dressing gown, which is not true. All right. I've never worn a dressing gown. I've got one in the wardrobe in case I go to hospital.
Well, you should slip it on.
It's just a cotton one, so why would I wear it, you know?
Well, because otherwise you'll end up in one of those hospital robes that are open at the back, Cliff. We don't want to see that.
I know. And then I have been to Rosebud Hospital, and yeah, I remember once I said I want to go to the toilet, and they said I had to do it in the bottle. I refused. And so when they weren't looking, I pulled all these sticks off my chest, stickers, and went to the toilet. They were most upset. Mm. Okay, political musicals. Damn Yankees, you've got to have heart. You've got to have faith, actually. We could turn that musical into a political musical. Ever heard of the musical Damn Yankees?
No.
Well, you've got to have heart, one of the big songs. Also, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, which is a little bit like... Hillary, you know? Hillary Clinton?
Yes, I could.
At the moment, depending on, once again, your political point of view.
Yeah.
As it happens, I'm a Democrat, but we all worry about that other fellow. Okay, the arts, performing arts. Mad as hell. That's on Wednesdays at 8:30.
On the TV.
Following on from that is another half-hour comedy. Why? They're both the same. They're both on politics. I can't think of what the other... Oh, The Chaser. Yeah, The Chaser follows it.
Right, so this is satire, political satire.
One after the other, of which a lot of the clips we've already seen on Mad as Hell. It's quite annoying. So I don't watch The Chaser now. I've accepted it. Winner of 5 Tony Awards, Titanic the Musical, July 7th to 24th.
Right.
Starring Paul Beatty, Don Windsor and Greta Sheriff, directed by James Cutler.
They might have trouble keeping that one afloat.
That's good. I like that. Bit of comedy coming in there. Look, it depends on... It's chapel off chapel. I think you'll get in for $50 or something like that, you know. So might be worth an interest for anyone that's looking. Theatre Works has got... what have they got? The Mill on the Floss by Optic Nerve Performance Group, directed by Tanya Gersel, 28th of July to 13th of August by, the show itself is written by George Eliot, adapted by Helen Edmondson. That's probably homosexuals type plays, if you're interested. They're doing well, Theatre Works. They got a bit of money out of the arts grant. You know how they chopped out a lot of smaller theatres?
Someone got some money.
Well, all the big ones did, but Theatre Works also got some too. Red Stitch? No, they missed out.
Right. Yeah.
But I would think one way or another they'll get it back. Because
so what happens if they miss out? Do they then have to seek funding from private funding? Or?
Well, they do, theoretically, but... Something will come along. The state government will come along.
They can't operate without money.
No, well, the state Labor government will come along and do something because they're in a lot of trouble with the CFA at the moment.
Right.
And, all the political goings on with our minister for whatever it is, Julie. She's leading the CFA volunteers. She's stepped in. Julie Bishop, yeah. Mm. Melbourne Cabaret Festival. That's been going for 4 weeks. Actually, it's nearly finished. It probably finishes tonight. Various shows. Again, I've chapel off chapel. Or the Space in Prahran. That's a corner of Carlton and Little Chapel Streets for those with different tastes. Again, it's all that other style of sexual.
Did you know that the Charlie Brown, the musical, is on in Melbourne?
Yeah, I did. I heard about that. Yeah.
Which I hadn't heard about it, but I wondered if it's a theatre musical and obviously directed at an audience who can afford to go to such a thing, who are adults. Oh. But it's not for kids. It's for adults, it would seem. And won a Tony in America years ago.
I did read about that, but I sort of skipped over it, but... It is school holidays coming up. You say it's not for kids.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean it's not for children. I mean it's directed at adults, I'm sure.
There is one, I don't know. I'll talk about that next week when I've had a look at it. But there is one for children. It's The Servant of Two Masters by Carlo Goldini, translated by Rosa Campanaro. July 13th through August 1st. I can't read these things on the paper. That's at La Mama Courthouse. The only trouble is it's on the VCE Theatre Studies list.
Why is that a problem, Cliff?
Well, it'll be packed. But they'll be school kids, you know. Years 11 and 12, almost certainly. Set in Venice, 18th century. It's a comedy. It's a good show. I've seen it. But not with kids in the audience. That drives me mental. So they'll probably have afternoon performances and evening performances. So if you're interested in going to the courthouse, anything from La Mama's generally good, go to a night show, not a day show. Television. The latest series of Wentworth is very disappointing. It's become a soapy. It's an upmarket Neighbours, you know.
I really liked
the first series.
I was on Prisoner.
Were you on?
Yeah.
I was on Prisoner too, about four or five times. Mm-hmm. But, and Steve Bastoni was in it the other day. As you know, he's a friend of this show, Steve. And he was.
What does Sally normally do to stop him talking, Brody?
He was in it as a detective. He was the nicest detective you've ever seen in your life. I nearly had a go at him on Facebook, but I wasn't going. He might have got upset. And also a little short movie he did has just been approved at some overseas big festival. So he's feeling high at the moment. It's a good time to have a shot at him.
He's anyway. Your mate.
You want me to stop? Yeah, all right. Just say, Sigrid Thornton's coming into Wentworth. If you've got Foxtel, there's another one to miss. Okay.
Well done.
Nothing else. Look, what about a song? Who's that fella behind the screen?
That's Brody behind
me. Brody! It's the eighth time I've forgotten your name, Brody. Play I Was Only 19 by Red Gum, because it's very sad. And with the politics, you know, we've only got what we vote next Saturday, so... We've got to feel really bad at the moment. Who are we going to vote for? The Greens? The Arts? Who knows?
Thanks for that, Cliff. Always nice to see Cliff coming in and out of the room, walking around.
Yeah.
They don't have to wheel him in yet.
No, the real thing.
Yeah, yeah, he's the real thing. Now, normally at this stage, we would, of course, be bringing you the news. Mark and I don't have any news, really. Although we are going to mention some things. Of course, I'm going to mention the MPRG, which has still got the landscape show on, soon to be turned into the Works on Paper Prize up there at the MPRG, and worth going and having a look at for sure. Mark and I have been to the opening of Degas. He's looking at me questioningly, but in fact the time and space continuum would indicate that, in fact, we've been to the opening of Degas. What do you think of Degas, Mark?
I like him. He doesn't seem...
That's not what you said the other day.
No, he doesn't seem like a very nice man, but he's done some brilliant paintings. His sculptures I'm not so sure about, being a sculptor myself, so I can be more critical. But
the sculpture that everyone thinks of with Degas is the little ballerina with the real costume on and the real ribbon and all that sort of stuff, and apparently attracted a fair bit of attention when he made it. I have to say myself, I kind of yawn at the sentimentality of it.
Mm. Well, it was the little ballerinas were called the petits rats, which is the little rats.
Right.
And they were mostly, mostly from poorer households and were considered to easy... it's not a nice subject, really.
Right.
Easy pickings for any of the men who were around at the time.
Right.
So apparently Degas was interested in that sense. So there was the sort of eroticism, which was part of the time, no longer exists. We've gone beyond that. But then it was actually quite shocking what he was doing. But we don't give a damn now, do we?
No.
Just look at the pretty colours.
But well have been shocking what he was doing, but also sort of, I just find it sentimental and somewhat cumbersome, Degas. There are some terrific paintings, it's got to be said, you know, he knew he had the skills. I'm not sure, but I'm interested in where his eye went.
Mm.
you know.
Perhaps some of the earlier paintings, the ones in, that he did in New Orleans,
right.
The cotton classes, yep. and that should be quite good.
But you and I have been over at McClelland as well, over to see
John
Cunningham, which was good. And we'll get together with John soon, maybe get him in here or have a meal with him somewhere and have a chat to him.
Yes. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the Luminous, the watercolours.
Oh, yeah.
The watercolour show, which is on Australian Watercolours on at the NGV as well.
Right.
And there's also Frida Kahlo
In Sydney.
In Sydney.
Yeah, I was talking about Frida last week. Okay. Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera.
Yes.
Rivera, I've been told I have to say. Diego Rivera.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Who was considered a much better artist up until...
Yeah, he's kind of dropped out of the scene and she's right in the forefront. Mm. You know, and that happens, I guess, with taste and the passage of time.
Yes. Things come in and out.
Yeah. And I don't really sort of, I haven't been thinking about anything else that's on around the joint, and I'm not sure that I'm prepared to talk about anything off the cuff either. And Brody's sitting there looking like he's ready to hit some buttons and have the closing music come up, Mark. I'd like to thank you for coming in.
I just want to mention one other person.
Oh, yeah.
Ada Lovelace. People, especially women, should look up Ada Lovelace, Lord Byron's daughter.
Okay.
She was one of the first computer programmers.
Really? Ada Lovelace.
Died at the age of 36.
Sister to Linda?
No, nothing to do with Linda. But look her up. Very interesting woman.
And be careful while you're looking that Lovelace name up. Thanks, Brody.